Welcome to The Plants We Eat, an investigation of the history, biology, and culture of the plants that we use for food. I'm Jeff Gilman, director of the UNC Charlotte Botanical Gardens and plant history enthusiast.
And I'm Cindy Proctor, part-time instructor at Central Piedmont in Charlotte and a solution-oriented landscape fanatic.
Oh, I love that introduction. You've been working on that all week, haven't you? So today we're going to talk about an ancient vegetable, a cool vegetable, one that everybody loves. Actually, not everybody doesn't. Everybody doesn't love them. Dogs,
they should.
Cats, they should. They dogs, should. Cats hate them.
Okay.
For reasons we'll get into a little bit later.
Okay.
But this is the story of the onion.
The onion. The onion's great. I mean, because it has a lot of cooking.
It does.
We don't eat it like out of the garden.
No, we don't.
No, hopefully.
Is there anything as wonderful as walking downstairs in the morning and smelling frying onions about to go into your omelet?
I have to say that I don't like onions in my omelet, but I know. But I do like onions in a lot of things. Cooked. Yeah, cooked onions are the best.
Onions in a cheesesteak.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
I'm from Philly.
In a roast.
I'm from Philly originally, so onions in a cheesesteak.
Yes, that's a must. Okay.
And in a roast, absolutely. So I want to start off a little bit with the biology of the onion. The onion is a geophyte, meaning it lives in the ground. It's harvested from the ground. Most people have absolutely no idea what they're eating when they're eating onion rings. So I think we should start by informing people that when you're eating an onion ring, you're actually eating the leaf of the onion.
I know. Isn't that interesting?
It's crazy.
Its whole life cycle is underground.
Right. Exactly.
Yes.
Well, there's a piece that pops
up.
Right. But that's really reproductive. That stalk is actually reproductive. And it will have a few leaves, but those leaves are different than your storage leaves. The onion rings, those leaves underground, they're considered storage rings. They hold a lot of carbohydrates. And the stem of the onion, and this is also what kind of blows people away. The stem of the onion is actually this tiny little flat thing. You know that part of the onion that you kind of cut off and don't eat that holds all the rings together?
That flat part at the bottom?
That flat part of the bottom. Mm-hmm. That is the whole stem of the onion. If you want the scientific name, it's called a basal plate.
The roots come right out of there.
That's right. The roots pop right out of there. And to reproduce an onion, actually, you just split up that basal plate into that stem into different parts, and it's really easy to reproduce an onion vegetatively without sex.
I know, and I can't wait to talk about how you can grow them.
We'll get there in a second.
Okay.
So 88.5 million tons of onions were produced in 2014. The big producers of onion are China and India. And China and India together actually produce about 50% of the world's production. Originally, the onion is thought to have come from Asia, maybe Iran, maybe West Pakistan. Since the common onion that we eat, the common onion, we don't have the wild progenitors of it anymore. So we really can't place exactly where it came from, but probably somewhere in Central Asia. There are many, many species of onions out there, between 300 and 1,000. And when we're talking about these species, we're really including a lot of different, what we call allium. The onion is a type of allium. So there's between 300 and 1,000 types of allium, and that includes chives, garlic, onions.
Leeks,
absolutely. Really, we're just talking about one species, which is the common onion. They've been around for about 6,000 years, and they're really, really important culturally in a lot of different cultures. In ancient Egypt, they're a staple food for the poor. Onions, beer, and bread are what the poor ate. They're actually small onions found in the eye sockets of King Ramses IV.
What does that mean?
They're an important staple crop. I think all that really shows is that, you know, they were important ancient civilizations, and they're important because they're very easy to grow. Most of the geophytes, and by geophytes, I mean plants that thrive in the ground, and we've got things like onions and ginger and potatoes and sweet potatoes and yams. These tend to be really easy plants to grow because they store stuff underground. They are used to very difficult conditions, and since they're used to dealing with difficult conditions by storing food and water and stuff underground, and so that's how they survive. Mm-hmm. And so we, you know, they do well. These are great foods to have if you're having a tough time out there. You know, they're survival foods. There are a lot of survival foods which are geophytes. So we do have a few different types of onion that I want to talk about that are not common onion, but they're worth mentioning really briefly because there are some absolutely gorgeous ornamental onions.
Oh, yes.
And I wanted to mention one in particular, which is a native onion that I think that people should try. It's called nodding onion. Are you familiar with nodding onion?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, it's a native onion, and it's just beautiful. It has these...
It's not the ones in our grass, is it?
Not the ones in our grass. I'm going to mention that
okay,
one, though.
Okay, okay.
It's not the ones in our grass, but it has these beautiful tipping over flowers at the top of its stalk.
And so you're saying nodding. Like
nodding. Okay. N-O-D-D-I-N-G.
Okay.
There's also the one in your grass, which is known as Canadian onion. It's also known as wild garlic. And it actually can be eaten. Most of these allium can be eaten in one way or another. But the interesting thing about the Canadian onion, at least to me, is that, you know, at the top of the stalk, for the ornamental onions, we see these beautiful flowers. For the Canadian onion, those actually aren't flowers. Were you ever a kid and you got to those weedy onions out in your lawn or out in the field and you pick off these tiny, they actually look like bulbs?
Mm-hmm.
Those actually aren't bulbs, they're bulbils, which mm-hmm. is a bulb above the surface of the soil. So they actually are a type of bulb.
Okay.
But they're called a bulbil, and they're not a flower. And you could actually take those tiny bulbils, and you can plant them, and you can get an onion, which is an exact copy of what's in your ground. Since it's a weed, you probably don't want to, but you could. And it's just kind of interesting to me that you can have vegetative reproduction of this plant in that way. Now, over the years, people have been, at least recently, moving towards sweet onions. And I think that that's the most interesting part of the onion. If you're looking for a hot onion, there actually is a type out there. It's a different species. It's called Allium aflatunense, native to Kazakhstan. That's a species.
That's a mouthful.
That's a mouthful. It's a really hot onion. If that's what you're after, go for it. But for us, for people, we tend to go towards a milder onion and a sweet onion. And over the years, there have been a number of different sweet onions developed. The first one that really hit its pace in the United States are the Texas sweet onions. The Texas sweet onions actually originally came from Bermuda, and those sweet onions were developed. There are a variety of different cultivars, and there are many, many different cultivars of onions, but the ones that are most common now are the Texas 1015s. That's Texas 1015, Texas 1015s. Now, they're called Texas 1015s because 1015 is actually the optimal planting date. So, why is the Texas 1015 so fantastic? Well, before I tell you that, let me talk about some other types of sweet onions. There's also Mauis from Hawaii. There are California Imperials from the Imperial Valley. There are Walla Wallas from Southeast Washington State. All of these are sweeter onions. And of course, I haven't talked about the most important one yet. We'll get to that in a minute. You know the most important ones.
Of course I do.
Okay. The reason these sweet onions are sweet are for two reasons. The first reason is that they pick varieties that are naturally sweeter. The second reason is because these onions are planted in soils that have low sulfur. The key to onion sweetness is low sulfur. See, sulfur turns into compounds in the onions which are volatile. They make us cry. In fact, there's a scale for onion sweetness called the pyruvate scale, and the scale's 1 to 10. A regular brown onion is going to score 6 to 7. Anything under about a 5 is considered sweet. So let's talk about the onion that's most common now in terms of sweetness or most well-known for its sweetness, the Vidalia onion. The Vidalia onion is typically going to score right at a 5. Okay. There's an onion called a super sweet, which scores about a 1.5 to a 2. I'll come back to
this. So lower the scale,
the less pungent.
That's right. Okay.
So it's actually not a sweetness scale. It's actually a pungency scale.
I think people like the Vidalia onions, that sweetness taste, because it's like a sweet and savory kind of taste, you know, combination.
It is.
It's and not like reading sugar, you know, or
exactly. Right. The Vidalia, right, is not this crazy sweet onion. It's one that strikes a really nice balance. Mm-hmm. Interestingly enough, with the Vidalia onion, if you stick your eyes right in it, it still will make you cry.
I know.
The Vidalia onion is not a tear-free onion. In fact, none of the onions that I just mentioned are really tear-free onions. So did you know that the onion, the Walla Walla onion, is actually Washington's official vegetable? It was developed in the early 1900s by a guy named Peter Pieri, who was a French soldier. He brought sweet onion seed from Corsica, and over years, they went and selected the sweetest onions until they, you know, developed the Walla Walla. In Texas, the sweet onions originally came from Bermuda. The Gran X is one of the cultivars that is used for Texas sweet onions. Texas sweet onions are not necessarily a single cultivar. There's actually a number of different cultivars. But the Gran X, which is, again, one of those cultivars that's used in Texas sweet onions, actually has a very interesting history, which I'll get into in just a second. The Vidalia onion is by far the most interesting sweet onion of all. Just nothing even close. In 1992, let me start back before 1992. In 1931, the first Vidalia onion was sold, and it was sold by a farmer named Mose Coleman, and he planted out his onions, and after he planted them out, he took them to market, and they weren't at first selling quite as well as he expected them to sell, and he's wondering why. And then he tasted his onions, and lo and behold, they were much sweeter than he anticipated. Now, he ended up really profiting from this, but at first, he was really concerned that these sweet onions would not sell as well as he anticipated that they would from the sweetness. So it turns out that the reason for the sweetness wasn't because of the variety that he planted. It was because of the amount of sulfur in the soil. The sulfur around Vidalia, Georgia, has very, very low sulfur. So the onions that grew there couldn't get their normal amount of sulfur, and they couldn't develop their normal pungency. Of course, once this was figured out, the people in Vidalia capitalized on this. And in 1992, the state of Georgia was recognized as the owner of the trademark for the Vidalia onion. Now, that is key, because Vidalia really has nothing to do with a cultivar. It's all about the location that these onions are grown in. Low sulfur combined with just almost any sweet onion, and you get a Vidalia onion. And you know the funny thing about this? The people in Vidalia were wise. The people in Georgia were wise, because they realized that patenting the onions wasn't nearly as important as trademarking. You see, a patent runs out in about 20 years. These people didn't patent it. They trademarked it. Trademarks never run out. So
smart.
Right, exactly. Forever and infinity, the Vidalia onion is the Vidalia onion. And there are some really serious rules governing the Vidalia onion. You know, the Vidalia onion can only be, I said that it can be different cultivars, it can, but it can only be within a certain limit. And the primary onion that they're using for your Vidalia onions are the Gran X from Texas.
Okay.
Texas developed Gran X, but there are others that can be utilized. Vidalia onions can only be grown in about a 20-county region, so a relatively small region, and Vidalia onions can only be sold on certain dates. I mean, there is actually 21-page rules and regulations from the Georgia Department of Agriculture about Vidalia onions. So it's fascinating how well they control the Vidalia onions and how they can and cannot be sold. You know, it's interesting. I was mentioning these different cultivars. New varieties can only be used based upon recommendations from the director of the experiment stations at the College of Agriculture and Environmental Sciences at the University of Georgia. So the University of Georgia actually has a little bit of control of this as well.
That's interesting.
It is.
I'm going to, when I see the Vidalia at the grocery store, I'm going to think about all the 21 days
right.
that they can sell it. Or is that right? 21
no,
days?
No, they have more than 21 days.
No, it's to harvest it? Or what was it?
There's a limited time to harvest, and I can't remember what that is. And then there's a limited time to sell. They have to sell after a particular date. And I know some of this stuff has been challenged by particular farmers, but I don't know where any of that sits right now. But beyond the Vidalia, a lot of things have been happening. There is a genetically modified tear-free onion that turns off the enzyme that turns the sulfur-containing compounds into tear jerkers. You see, an onion can take up sulfur and then still have some of the compounds in there, but then you can actually turn off the enzymes that make it into a tear jerker. What makes the reaction in your eyes?
Well, that sulfur is concentrated at the stem that you were talking about.
Right.
So there's something that they've done.
There's something that they've done that will turn off the creation of the volatiles. You mm-hmm. see, the onion smells like an onion normally, but the reason that you cry is because you break open cells and release volatiles which get into your eye. You can turn off the creation of those volatiles, those things that enter the air, and you can do that genetically through genetic modification. But you can also do it through just messing with the onion. And in 2015, a Japanese food company called House Foods Group actually created an onion that didn't have the tear problem. And they did this by irradiating bulbs. And so they didn't use genetic modification. Instead, they mutated them by literally irradiating them, which is a different type of genetic mutation, but not one that we think of as genetic mutation. Those onions were called smile ball onions, and you can only purchase those in Japan. Now, some of you may have seen sunions. Sunions have just hit the shelves here in the United States, and they're actually produced by the Bayer Company, and they've been produced through standard breeding. They're only produced in Washington and Nevada, and again, they're a bred variety of onion. They actually have a group of people test the onions prior to shipment to ensure that they're non-tear producing. The flavor is supposed to be like a mild onion, but the nasty aftertaste that you typically have with an onion disappears, and the tear-causing compounds are gone. With taste tests, people tend to really like them, and they can cut them without tears. So these are probably going to become, over the next 5 or 10 years, they're positioned to become the more popular onion. With most onions become more pungent as they sit on the shelves. These onions, these sunions again, these actually become less pungent as they sit on the shelves. Just because it's interesting, in 2013, the Vidalia onion was actually worth $150 million per year, so you would kind of anticipate that sunions and onions like that would take a healthy share of that, but we're going to have to see what happens.
Well, that's what I have the worst problem with, is cutting up onions, is the crying. I've tried wearing glasses.
Have you tried the goggles?
No.
We actually have goggles at home for this.
Actually, you know what I do, is I cut it with the skin still on.
Do you?
Yes, that and help? That helps. And then I can, and then you wait.
But I wonder why that would help, because you're still cutting the cells.
Well, but if you wait to cut that basal plate or the stem last, that helps. Okay. But
are you mostly using sweet onions?
No.
Oh, you use it. Okay.
Yeah. So I leave the papery cover.
The tunic. Yeah. If we're being technical,
that's right.
The onion is a tunicate bulb.
That's right.
Meaning that it has that crazy papery tunic around it.
That's right. To keep it from drying out.
And then the final thing that I wanted to mention today is that, yes, onions do have some toxicity going on. Now, onions are absolutely toxic to dogs and cats. No two ways about it. They actually cause anemia. what happens is that the sulfur compounds get broken down into disulfides, and these sulfur compounds, these disulfides, which is, you know, just smaller sulfur compounds, they actually react with the hemoglobin, and the hemoglobin is actually denatured, makes what's called, known as Heinz bodies in the blood. But you actually look at a dog or cat that has been exposed or eaten onion, and you can actually tell by the blood that they've been exposed to this, because the blood will actually have, yeah, a certain look to it. So it actually causes a type of anemia. The blood can't carry oxygen properly. And you might ask yourself, can this happen to humans? And, you know, well, Cindy, you know me. I mean, I went through the literature as much as I could, and I could find some cases where people think this happened to them after eating tremendous amounts of onions. But in the scientific literature, I really didn't find much. Certainly the possibility was mentioned, but it's definitely not a common occurrence where a person would have this, would experience this type of anemia from eating a tremendous number of onions. Just, it seems to happen, but it would take an incredible effort. Right. To have this.
Well, it might have to do with our size and the way that we're able to break down, you know, sulfur compounds or something that would be different from dogs. But okay, I take your word. I think we're all okay. We've been eating onions for centuries.
Now, as you were looking through the literature, did you find anything about growing sweet onions through low sulfur in your own yard?
No, I didn't find that. In fact, what I did hear that, and I did do a little bit of research, but I didn't find anything that was substantial. And I believe it's because people cannot grow Vidalia onions, you know, because of the trademarking and the issues that you just described. So,
but you could certainly pick sweeter onions if you want to grow a sweeter onion.
You could, and there are several varieties that are out there, of course, for the home gardener. Mm-hmm. They can use, and you really have to decide whether you're going to do short day or long day varieties, and then there's intermediate, and that depends on what part of the country you're on. So if you're in the southern states, you really want to go for the short day. So your nights are longer, you know, and your short days are more for the southern states, like from North Carolina south. And then for northern folks, they could use the long day varieties. And the difference is that the long day varieties tend to store better, you know, and the short days don't tend to store as well. So, but they grow better. And I'm sure that has a lot to do with the heat. You know, they didn't get into that. The literature didn't. So, but there aren't intermediate kinds available. And that's if you don't live too far north or too far south, like in Florida, then you can cross that territory line, if you will, and get into those. And looking up online is the best way to find the short day and long day varieties, you know, for your area mm-hmm. where you live. But, you know, of course, California grows the most.
Sure. It grows the most everything.
Right. And Idaho, Eastern Oregon, and Washington. But you can grow them in any state, to be honest, as long as you follow that short day, long day, intermediate.
It is a tough, tough plant.
It is a tough plant, but with these annual growing type vegetables that we're going to talk about, I always want you to put in a raised bed. I'm really going to be a big proponent for that. An onion is a biennial, but mm-hmm. we treat them as an annual. And a biennial is that it leaves out for 1 year and blooms the next. Mm-hmm. But with onion, you don't want it to bloom, because that's where it goes south for you, is that it once it blooms, it doesn't store well, that it doesn't taste as well, and it's a much smaller bulb. And sometimes it can bloom by bolting.
So does that mean that in production, they plant seeds and then the onion grows, and then it's harvested at the end of that first year?
So they can plant seeds in the fall.
Okay.
So you would plant seeds in the fall, and then it would grow into a transplant size, like the size of a pencil. Mm-hmm. And then you would carefully plant those or separate those seedlings and plant those in their forever home, hopefully a raised bed. If you have a backyard garden, you know, if mm-hmm. you have a larger area, of course, you can plant it in the fields, but in a backyard situation, in the raised beds, you're going to transplant those seedlings, and then they're going to die back, and then they're going to reemerge in the spring. Now, most people like to do the bulb sets, and those are available now, or well, in the spring. And then you can plant those in your raised beds. And depending whether you have a short day or long day variety, you're going to get them in about 90 days. Short day varieties, because you're in the South, you're going to plant them probably more like early April.
Okay.
You know, in the North, you're going to plant them a little later because you need to do it after the danger of frost. So frost dates for the South is usually about mid-April, depending on the state. And then for the North, it can be as late as June. So they're about 90 to 100 days to harvest. So if you like to do the seeds, you can do that, and you can buy seeds from your local, you know, garden center. But the bulb sets, I really like to do those, and they're because they're the easiest to do.
They're very straightforward. And you know exactly what you're getting.
And there's always, there's a lot of work in separating seedlings and then transplanting them, you know, and if you have the time, and that's soothing, you know, for them to do. But the bulb sets are definitely much easier. But one thing about the bulb sets is that you want to plant them about 4 inches deep. But at the same time, you want to expose a little bit of their crown. Mm-hmm. Because the demise of onions is if they sit in wet. Mm-hmm. And depending on your soil, and of course, you know, I'm always going to recommend well-drained soil with lots of compost, you know.
For every plant.
For every plant. I mean, that's recorder, you know, answer to everything.
Let's take you offline, but
okay.
Can I do this with any onion off of the counter at the grocery store?
Well, I mean, people do try to use their kitchen scraps, you know, after, as long as you save that basil plate or that stem, you'll have some success, but it'll limp along. And it's kind of like a science experiment. I mean, sometimes you have success, sometimes you don't.
You're better off going with the varieties
recommended for the homeowners. I do, because a lot of the varieties that are shipped or at the grocery store are shipped from other states or other parts of the world, even depending on the time of year. And there's so many great ones available locally that really... There's really been a lot of research done that where you have success in your local
state. If I go to a farmer's market, that's a little bit different from local farmers and get
hardware
onions from them.
Hardware store, you know.
I could buy 4 onions, 3 to eat and 1 to chop up and utilize.
Right. But yes, the onion sets are the way to go. Don't bury them too deep. And what they're going to start doing in the spring is spend a lot of time growing that vegetative state. Now, before I get too ahead of myself, they need to be banded with fertilizer. And banding with fertilizer basically is, instead of sprinkling it all over the beds, is that you're literally making a little furrow in the soil and putting your fertilizer and concentrate on a triple super phosphate or triple, excuse me, a phosphorus type fertilizer first. And then as you see it emerge, you're going to put more nitrogen in there. And you're going to have to continue to do that for about every 2 weeks, especially with not with the phosphorus, but with the nitrogen, until the neck, you know, that papery neck on the top of your onion. Well, as you see that form in the soil and it gets soft, you want to stop fertilizing. Okay. Now, one thing that you want to make sure that your onion doesn't do is bolt. And bolting is such a weird word, but what it means is some plants trigger an elongation of the stem and to form into a flower as a response to environmental issues. And what happens is the onion's not very good after that. So a little bit of the work that you've done to get there, it bolts, it's kind of over. You need to remove the onion from the ground right away and use it. And it's not going to store. But so you don't want it to flower. And that's a response to, you know, some states, ours included, can have warm days and cold days. And it responds to that issue. Now, that's why you need to plant it after frost. Now, I do want to say that your pH needs to be really neutral. So
acidic soil does not help it?
No, acidic soil doesn't help it in these situations. And I know that goes against a little bit of your Vidalia onion. You want to grow some sweet onions, don't you?
Hey, I love sweet onions.
You love sweet onions?
I really do.
So, and that's a good point, because I like to do mail order because I can really decide what I want, because mm-hmm. the descriptions are very thorough. It'll talk about, it goes as far as the taste, the storage ability, mm-hmm. The color of it, can it make you cry? You know, there's a lot of things that are involved in that. I love mail order for that reason, mm-hmm. especially, but you can get your onion sets from the hardware store. Now, just so you know that the leaves elongate, take a good look at them, because each leaf means there'll be a ring of onion. Mm-hmm. You know, and the thicker the leaf, the thicker the ring, you know, of your onion.
Yeah, which is kind of neat.
It is neat. It's kind of fun.
Onions are just a cool plant.
Now, they're going to mature, right, mm-hmm. in about 3 months after you plant them.
Right.
And this is really important. This part here is that how you harvest them. So they're going to start telling you it's time to harvest when the foliage starts to fall over. And when it falls over, and it starts to look yellow, it's about time to dig them up. So the loose soil, even though they're really easy to grow, it's the loose soil is where it comes to play here, is that it's easy to remove it. You're not going to damage your bulb. And you're going to lay it out on the pavement or not at the grass and let them dry for a couple weeks if you can. Maybe a shed would be better mm-hmm. because you want to protect it from the sun. And then you can take the soft, sometimes you'll have some soft ones. You want to eat those first, but you can store the rest.
But they will become more pungent over time.
They will, but you can, why not?
Unless,
you can store the rest and have them for later months, which is great for most vegetables. We can't do that.
Right. And if you're cooking them, that's great. Now, again, with the sunions, they do get milder. And apparently, the super sweet also gets sweeter with time.
The super sweet.
Super sweet.
Super.
So super sweet is a UK variety, which I didn't mention earlier, but it has a pungency index of only 1.5 to 2. Or maybe I did mention that.
I bet it's a short day onion.
I think it probably.
Or intermediate. You know, intermediate's kind of like sitting on the fence. You know, you're not short, you're not long, you're in between. And that probably is best for most gardeners. But mail order is the way to go. So I love growing onions. They're so easy.
They're easy, straightforward, great plant, and great on your cheesesteak. Thank you for listening to The Plants We Eat, and we look forward to talking to you again soon.